My mama, man, that song, it hit me a different way tonight. And I'll tell you why. This past Thursday and Friday, we went to go see a fabulous pastor by the name of, he is a pastor, right? Friday and Saturday. What did I say?
Thursday and Friday.
Thursday and Friday. Friday. I was here Thursday, right now, yeah. We saw a guy named Dan Moeller. If you've never heard Dan Moeller before, you need to get on it, man. And some of the things that I heard just revolutionized the way I think. And this was the first man I've ever... well, there are several men that I believe walk in a God kind of love. And I believe he's one of them. Now, for me to say that, that's saying a whole lot. Because I have not, when I say seen a man, I mean I've experienced him. I mean, I've seen some well-knowledge preachers, but they can get in the flesh. I'm one of them, so calling myself out. But the thing is that, man, the way he taught on love was just incredible. The way he taught on belief was just incredible. And the next time he comes to town, we're going to make sure the whole gang of you is there. Because you need to hear this man. If you get a chance, go over to YouTube and type in Dan Moeller, M-O-H-L-E-R. And look for this. Is it Kingdom?
Kingdom Living.
Kingdom Living. And there's part one, two, three.
School of Kingdom Living.
School of Kingdom Living. Just put in Kingdom Living. You'll get it. And it's part one, two, three, four, five, six, seven, eight, something like that. There's 38 of them. Goodness. Man, and each one is 2.5 hours long.
Wow.
Yeah. You sit in that for 2.5 hours, I promise you, you'll have a new perspective on the love of God. And this is what I've been practicing and doing lately, is asking the Holy Spirit to reveal the God kind of love to me. Amen. Now, the thing is this. To love God, you first got to trust God. Yes. Oh, don't shout me down now. You got to trust him. And that trust has to be established, and it's established in relationship. And so the thing is that many Christians, we pastors, we teach Christians to, you know, you got to believe God, and you got to, God, I believe, I receive. And I'm beginning to realize that some of that is not right. God has given us some things, and the thing he gave us is the image of his son. And that image lives on the inside of us.
Hallelujah.
And the more we begin to know who that image is and recognize that image, we'll quit trying to strive to get things done. It's just a matter of us saying, Holy Spirit, show me how he loves me.
Amen.
You know, God so loved the world. Before you even knew him, he loved you. Before you were even born, he loved you. Man, I'm telling you. The love of God is an amazing thing. And I ain't teaching it tonight, but I sure wish I could. Because I've been learning some things, and I'm going to get over to that pretty soon. But my goodness, whew, it's powerful. Well, we've been studying the born again trail. And we've been studying what it means to be born again. And so far, we've been studying that you have two births. You have a birth in the natural, and you have a birth in the spiritual if you're born again. And the thing is that you have received an inheritance. And God so loved you so much. See, there it goes again. God so loved you so much, he gave you an inheritance. Glory to God. Now, the problem is the church doesn't love God enough to figure out, to find out what that inheritance is. That's our problem. We don't love him enough to find out what that inheritance is. See, he loved me before I got sick. He loved me after I was sick. And just because I'm sick didn't change his love for me. He still loves me. So he loves me so much, he wants me to be well. He loves me so much, he wants my business to be a success. He loves me so much, he wants my ministry to be a success. He loves me so much, he wants my personal life to be a success. Oh, come on, somebody. I'm about to start preaching the love of God again. I better stop. But see, when you were born again, you were transferred into the kingdom of God, and you didn't arrive knowing everything. And just because you received the baptism of the Holy Spirit and you begin the speaking of the tongues, it does not mean you receive everything the Holy Spirit has. You didn't get it. And this is where the church has missed it, man. Just because you pray in tongues doesn't mean you got what he wants to give you. That's why we only prayed in tongues 5 or 10 minutes out a week. That's what I said, 5 or 10 minutes a week. And we thought, I'm full of the Holy Ghost. One of the biggest deceptions the church has ever have taken part of. I'm not against the baptism. But I'm just saying there's some things he wants to bring you in that baptism. And you praying 5 minutes a week, it's not going to do it. You praying when your circumstances start going awry, it's not going to get it done. There's got to be more intent and more earnest has to be brought. But you can be taught, and the Holy Spirit will transfer his knowledge that he has of God. He'll transfer that teaching to you by teaching you and guiding you into all truth, John 16:13. It is through the baptism of the Holy Spirit that he will indeed teach and guide us into all truths. Everybody say all truths. Anything you're going through, he'll show you the truth of it. The truth of it. See, we go to the world first whenever we have financial problems. We go to the world first when our marriages are in problem. We go to the world first when our bodies are ill or need healing. But we go to him last. Why is that? When he has all truth. Don't shout me down now. I'm going to be your friend. I am your friend. I am your friend. And as a friend, I'm going to teach you as I should. The way you would attend school and be taught by a teacher, the Holy Spirit will become your personal teacher of spiritual things. When you are born again, you receive the new nature that could be taught and receive spiritual things. See, up before then, you couldn't receive those things. Now you have the capacity to receive those things. But before then, you couldn't receive them. And then I could go from here and start talking about the nation of Israel. They cannot, when they read the New Testament, the Bible says there's a veil over their face. They cannot see. You know why? We know what that veil is? Their flesh. And we're going to get in that a little bit tonight, but he's not talking about the flesh that you and I having a bad hair day. He's talking about the flesh being not born again, not having a new nature to be able to commune with God. In 1 Corinthians chapter 2:13, I think my man's going to start putting those things up there. What God has ordained to give you, no man can give you, including your pastor that you're looking at. I can't give you the things that God has ordained to give you, but you can have them if you'll spend time with the Holy Ghost. Amen. The teaching that I'm speaking of happens in your spirit, and it could be compared to that of a calculus teacher in a foreign language. You go sit down and say in Mexico, and all you speak is English, and this guy's teaching you how to do calculus, and you're going, I don't understand a word he's saying. This is how you were when you were not born again. You've heard many scriptures. You've heard a lot of stuff. But until you get born again, you don't understand what the teacher is saying. But the moment you get born again, you receive the capacity to understand spiritual things. And then when you're filled with the Holy Ghost, you receive the teacher that you can finally understand. But as you develop the discipline of praying other tongues, he begins until you develop that discipline, then he begins the transformation process that changes you into a mature son of God. There are lots of sons of God running around in the Christendom, but very few of them are mature. Oh, don't shout me down when I'm preaching real good. Very few of them are mature. Why? Because you're still running around going, Pastor, he sat in my chair. Pastor, they took the last cup of coffee. They walked right by me and didn't say good morning. I thought they were my friend and they're on Facebook talking about me. You're not mature. Don't tell me you're mature. And I can go to 1 Corinthians. If you want to go that way, I can go to 1 Corinthians and show you where there's bickering and strife and division. There's ever leaving work and you are still a babe in Christ. But now, as you begin to spend time praying in the Holy Spirit, that transformation process, it begins to turn you into a mature son of God. Now, you're able to understand spiritual things as he unveils the mysteries of Christ in you. Never quit praying out the mystery. Let's go over to 1 Corinthians chapter 2:14. If it's up on the screen, okay. Okay, we'll go with 13. It's okay, go with 13. That's fine. I can go with 13. It says, which things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teaches. You know what he's talking about there? See, very few of us know what these verses are talking about. Does anybody know what he's talking about here? Without the people that spend time with me. Okay, if you spend time with me, what's those verses talking about? Which things also we speak, not in words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Ghost teaches, comparing spiritual things to spiritual things. Which things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teaches. What is that? That's praying in them their other tongues. This is the secret key that has kept the church from going deeper and deeper into who Christ truly is, or the Holy Ghost truly is. Now listen. The natural man cannot receive the things of the Spirit of God. Why? Because they are foolishness unto him, and he can't know them because they are spiritually discerned. Because you've been born from above, you have now the nature that you can be taught by God. Your soul, which is your mind, your will, and your emotions, has been trained by the world and only knows of one way to operate. Your natural mind does not understand the operation of the Spirit of God. It does not. It cannot comprehend it. It was not designed to comprehend it. This is why God sent the Holy Ghost and gave you the Bible so that you could be able to read, study, and learn and develop, bring forth the mind of Christ, the very thing that you have inherited. This is why God left the Bible in the earth so that we could renew our mind with the thoughts of God. The Holy Ghost uses the word so our soul man can easily access these things while he is attempting to get over to our mind and process it through our intellect. As you read the Word of God, the Holy Ghost is going, yeah, now I can take this and I can begin to transform you into what it really is. But it won't happen unless you spend time with the Holy Spirit. This is the thing the church has forgotten, left out, was the one that teaches you. Our teacher, the Holy Spirit, is living on the inside of us, and this job is to guide us into all truths. Truths about what? Truths about the Word. His sole hope, his biggest expectation of you is that you would finally give yourself over to meditation of the Word. See, the combination of praying in tongues and the Spirit ministering insight and wisdom into your spirit is what you should be subjecting your mind to. See, he wants to, as you begin to meditate, he wants to end up in a kind of transformation that will change your life forever. And then you'll become an immovable rock. You won't be swayed to and fro by everything. Your friends, you go on Facebook and they're talking about you like a dog. And you go, I bless them in Jesus' name. I lift them up in the name of Jesus. I'm not going to talk bad about them. I'm going to bless them. And then what the Holy Spirit will have you do, he says, hey, find out what kind of cologne they wear, or what kind of perfume they wear. And go over to, no, you ain't going over to TJ Maxx. You're going over to Sackowitz. You're going to buy them the best cologne or perfume you can find. And then you're going to give it to me. You ain't going to tell them who gave it to them. Why? That's how you respond in the realm of the Spirit. See, that's what he'll transform you to. Now, many of you with your natural mind going, I don't know about that, Pastor. Because you're still a babe. You're still a babe. But I'm believing God, you're going to grow up. Amen? Last week we covered the first thing we must be transformed to in Romans 12:2. How many know what it is? What's the first thing we want to be transformed to? Our minds must be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of our mind. We learn that the first truth that we must be conformed to is that what? What's the first thing you want to transform your mind to? Nope. Now, you said in this class last week, you ought to know these things. What's the first thing your mind should be transformed? Say it, sister. Come on, somebody. How could you forget that? Sin has no dominion over you. Never. Once you're born again, it has no dominion over you. You got to get this, folks. Now, I may be getting loud, and you may think, oh, well, Pastor, I got mad. No, I'm not mad. I just want you to get this. Who is sin's first cousins? Anger, strife, division, poverty. All those things, those are sin's first cousins, and you've been delivered from them. So tomorrow morning you wake up and you go, I think the flu's going around, right? Everybody getting it. Half the office is out because everybody getting the flu. I must be coming down with the flu. Wait a minute. Sin has no dominion over you. Yeah, but Brother Craig, the flu is real. I get that. And so is sin has no dominion over you. That's more real than the flu. You've been delivered. Let me give you the second thing you've been transferred to. You ought to transform your mind to. God loves you. And he doesn't love you when you're doing all right. And when everything is going good. He loves you when all H-E double hockey stick is breaking loose in your life. When the flu is knocking on your door, he loves you. He loves you. Now, if you can't love God before you get $1 million, it's going to be hard to love him when you get $1 million. This is why he wants you to learn how to love him before the million comes. Because when the million comes, you're going to have everybody pulling at you. Oh, come over here. Oh, you come over here. Oh, you come over here. And they're going to be pulling at you. And why? Because they're trying to drag you away to use $1 million on your selfish desires. Don't shout me down now. Sin has no dominion over you. God loves you. The first thing you want to be transformed to in your mind is that sin has no dominion over me. My boss is not my problem. My banker is not my problem. All right, let me just get in your stuff a little bit more. The white man ain't my problem. The Hispanic man ain't my problem. The black man ain't my problem. My problem is me. That's my problem. That's my problem. My problem is a thing called sin. That's my problem. And I've been delivered from it. I've been set free from it. Now, the thing is this. There are Christians that sit in church for 20, 30, 40 years and never realize they're free. Now, I'm going to give you my African, I'm going to give you my plantation story again. In this late 1700s, most of the African Americans were freed by the Emancipation Proclamation. How many of you know that? But did you realize the majority of them stayed on the plantation? Don't shout me down. You know why they stayed on the plantation? Because they didn't know what freedom meant. Well, Pastor Craig, why you bring it up now? You getting prejudiced? No, I'm going someplace with this. Many of you are still on the plantation of sin, sickness, and disease because sin has no dominion over you. And many of you are still a slave to that stuff. You're still a slave to it. Now, ladies, let me get on your case. You are a slave to your soap operas. You, right now, you're taping some of them, or you tape them today so you can go home at night and watch what happened to Billy and Bob. What happened to Johnny and Susan? You taped it so you can go home and watch it. See? Sin has dominion over you. Now, here goes the men. Your favorite team may be playing tonight. And you want to get, you ain't coming to Bible study because you want to watch your team play tonight. Pastor, I got to watch this team play tonight. See? Sin has no dominion over you. Does it or does it not? See, you have been set free of everything that accompanied your spiritual death. And these things have no legal right to exist in your life anymore. Now, they can exist. You can let them exist, but they don't have to. Sickness and disease is the result of man dying spiritually. Poverty and lack is the result of man dying spiritually. Depression and mental diseases, Alzheimer's, or a lack of man dying spiritually. But the moment you were born again, sin lost its power to dominate you anymore. Are you hearing me tonight? The point to all this is this. We should not justify our sicknesses, depression, and failures. See, if you go around and saying, I couldn't help but watching that soap opera. I couldn't help but reading them little naughty magazine, that pornography. I couldn't help myself. See, if you go around saying that, you've taken away from the Holy Ghost everything he needs to set you free. Everything he needs to set you free. Because you're using your free will and saying, sin has dominion over me. That's what you're saying. You got to change that. That's how you transform yourself to it. The other morning, I'm getting up, and well, I was going to barbecue on Wednesday. Y'all know I like to barbecue, right? Y'all going, you're going to have a little bit of that tonight, too. Bless the Lord. But look at here. So Tuesday, it's storming and raining, and everybody's going, the next 2 days, it's going to be bad. I said, not on Wednesday. I got the barbecue. It's going to be all right. Oh, no, Pastor. It's going to be a bad day, Pastor. Sin has no dominion over me. Don't shout me down. What was the weather like here on Wednesday? It was the perfect day to barbecue. Man, it was about 50 degrees outside, breeze blowing a little bit. I sat there and went, man, I got a good day to barbecue. Why? Sin has no dominion over me. Now, if sin had dominion over me, I'd be going like, sister, can you pray for me? I got a barbecue in the rain tomorrow, and I don't want to get the flu. Oh, pray for me. Now, you think I'm having some fun up here, but I'm serious. That's how we carry on. They're laying everybody off of the job. Oh, I'm next. Brother Craig, the devil is after me. Well, turn around and face him then. Why are you running from him? Turn around and run into him and say, what you want, big boy? But no, because see, you haven't made up your mind that sin has no dominion over you. See, he'll knock on your door at nighttime. I know a guy named Lester Sumrall. He was over in the Philippines one time preaching up a storm. And he went to bed, and the bed started levitating. And the bed levitated and went over by 6 feet. And he's like, what in the world? So he got the light, and he shined it around, and he saw the devil himself. He says, oh, it's only you. And he went back to sleep. And when he rolled over, he said, hold it, hold it. Put the bed back where you found it. Now, that's a man know who he is. See, sin has no dominion over him. He ain't afraid of the devil because he knows who lives on the inside of him. He knows where he's been transformed to. He knows what he's now, who he now is, not just in word, but in deed. And that's how he walks, bless God. Oh, I done preached myself happy tonight. Go over to John chapter 1. These are probably some of the best verses that I've studied in a long time. Go over to John chapter 1. Can you bring that up? You got it? Okay, John chapter 1. Now, I love this stuff. In the beginning was the Word. In the beginning was the Word. Before there was a beginning, the beginning was the Word. Before there had to be a beginning, before it even began to be a beginning, in the beginning was the Word. Now, who was the Word? Who was the Word? The Word was Jesus, the Logos, the mighty Logos of the Word. So he's talking about Jesus. But watch this. And the Word was who? Was where? It was with God. My goodness. In the beginning. Before there was a beginning. Before you even thought about having a beginning. Now don't get upset. He doesn't have a beginning, but you don't have an end either. He doesn't have a beginning. He doesn't have an end. And you don't have an end either. But in the beginning was the beginning. And the Word was with God. And the Word was God. You can't separate God from his Word. You can't separate fire from heat. You can't separate water from wet. You cannot separate them. You cannot separate God from his Word. But God did. God one day turned his back on his Word. Not his Word, but he turned his back on Jesus. Turned his back on him. But in the beginning, notice where he is. He says, go back to John chapter 1. John 1:1. In the beginning was the Word. That's Jesus. And the Word was with God. Who is God? See, when you say God, what God are you talking about? God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Ghost. They're all God. Now listen here. He said, and the Word was with God, meaning they were all together. In other words, Jesus, the Logos, the Holy Ghost, and God the Father, they stand. Now I'm going to say it kind of funny, so get ready. They stand mustache to mustache, belly to belly, chest to chest, toe to toe, shoulder to shoulder. They're just as equal each one is. They're none diminished. There's not one smaller than the other. They're all just as powerful. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the same was in the beginning with God. God separated the mighty Logos here from himself. Now, go down verse 3. Oh, I'm getting ahead of myself, but that's all right. All things were made. This is Jesus. He's talking about him specifically now. He comes off Jehovah in verse 1. Now he's going to start talking about the Logos. It says, all things were made by who?
Him.
By him. By him who?
Jesus.
The Word, the Logos, the mighty Logos, the second person of the Godhead, Jesus. And without him was not anything made. And let me ask you a question. I'm finna mess with your theology now. So who made the devil? My theology just messed all up. You mean to tell me that Jesus made the devil? Yep. But he wasn't known as the devil then. He was known as Lucifer. Excuse me. Yeah, Lucifer. He was known as Lucifer. He was in charge of all the angels. Jesus created him. Jesus created him. Let that sit there for a second, because I want you to get real mad. How did Jesus create the devil? Well, didn't God create you? Let me ask you a question. Did you come out of your mother's womb full of God? No. But Satan fell. The Bible says that iniquity was found in him. And the moment that God discerned that he was not a player anymore, God kicked him out of heaven. But again, it says, without him was not anything made that was made. Now, somebody, you don't have to go over there, Devin, but somebody go down to verse 10. Well, that's okay, don't go there. Now, we're still talking about who? Who are we talking about who?
Jesus,
the Word. In him was what?
Life.
Okay, well, now, you see the word life there, it says Zoe kind of life. In him was the God of life. Now remember, this is in the beginning before there was a beginning. This is in the beginning before beginning had a beginning. This is before even Adam was brought on the scene. In the beginning, before there was a beginning, God and Jesus stood toe to toe, shoulder to shoulder, mustache to mustache. They were tri-equals. He says, but in him was what? Life. And the life was the what?
Light
of men. He had life, and that light was the light of men. Now listen, here's what he's saying here. Jesus, the same light that the Father put in Adam when he created Adam. The Bible says that when God created Adam's body from the dust of the earth. You agree with that?
Yeah.
Now get this, and God breathed. That was the breath of life. That was the Zoe life. Here's what God did. God took a part of himself and put it in Adam. Oh, come on, somebody. Now, here's where I'm going with this. God took a part of himself out of himself and put it in Adam. When you got born again, Jesus took a part of himself out of himself and put it in you. Oh, you ought to be running around it, but now he put himself in you. He put his life in you. He put the Zoe kind of life in you. In him was life. And that life was the light of men. The light that's in me. The light that I have. It is the life of men. It is the same life that Jesus had. Oh, come on, somebody. And amen. And in verse 5 it says, and the light shineth in darkness. Now, what does it mean there? That means when he came to the earth, he brought his light. He was bringing wisdom. He was teaching. He was preaching. He was trying to get everybody to see who he really was. And the thing is this. They said what? They didn't receive him. He said, and the light shines in darkness. Where was the darkness? Here on the earth. The light shines in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. Didn't comprehend it, man. Didn't comprehend it. Let me ask you a question. You were one time in darkness. How did you know about the light? How did you know about the light? Now, how did you get into light? How did you know about the light? How did you know you needed light? How did you know you were out of light?
Somebody
told you. Well, guess who came to tell you? Jesus. That was his job. He came to tell you, you were dark. He's telling you, you're dark. Now, he also sends the Holy Spirit to tell you, listen, you need to get full of his light. You need to let him transfer those mysteries to you. Spend time praying with him so you'll still quit walking in darkness. I mean, I can get off on that, but I don't want to. He says, then the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. They didn't know who he was. In fact, they resisted who he was. Next verses, please. Verse 6. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. Now, I already shouldn't even go over this because it's really kind of off point here. But what he's saying here is that somebody came to represent and kept what he was saying was, this is him. This is the light. This is the man that has a light. In other words, if there was a pastor going to be at some church, and there was another pastor who wanted to promote this pastor, he would do what? Keep talking about this pastor. He's coming to town. He'll be here. You don't want to miss him, and so on and so forth. Well, that's what John the Baptist was doing. John the Baptist said, hey, he's coming. The world's been waiting on him. He's coming. So he says that there was a man sent from God. In other words, God sent him, whose name was John. The same came for a witness, to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe. Now, how many of you know they didn't believe John? How many of you know at one time John didn't believe John? How many of you know that? Yeah. Do you remember when John said, y'all go ask Jesus, is he the one? Or should we look for another? What happened to John? John began to, he almost quit believing, man. Because he was in prison. He's like, wait a minute. I'm bringing the gospel. I'm the forerunner. Why am I in jail? Yeah. And now get this. John had a lot of disciples. But when Jesus came on the scene, guess what those disciples did? They left John to follow Jesus. Now, what's your flesh going to say? Hey, you ain't the man no more. All of a sudden, everybody's following you. Now they on hook from your wagon, and they following Jesus. So how you think John felt? John going, huh? Do what? Huh? Why? What's going on? And then all of a sudden, you see how a little deception will try to put out your light. And see, John's sitting there in prison, and he's going, maybe he's not the one. Maybe he's not the one. But this is no different than what Satan did to Eve. He just had her start thinking about stuff. Does this make sense to you, Eve? Does it really make sense to you? John, you're sitting here in prison. Does this make sense to you? Jesus out there preaching the word. He out there doing his good thing, miracles. How come he can't come over here and open each person's gates and get you out of here? That's kind of what his thinking was. But John began to doubt. And the same came for a witness to bear witness to the light, that all men through him might believe. He was not that light, but he was sent to bear witness of the light. He's paving the way. Next verses, please. There was a man. I'm sorry. Excuse me. That was a true light which lighted every man that cometh into the world. Now let me correct something here. There are some teachings that say, this verse says that everybody that gets born into the earth is born with light. Not true. What he's talking about here is he's talking about a man that Jesus is going to give his light to. You got his light. I got his light. I have that light. You have that light. But now before then, and I can go back and show you verses where when you're born into the world, you're born estranged from God. In fact, when you're doing a funky chicken and whatever, the worm and whatever else you do, okay? I don't know the other new songs they got out, the dances they got out there. I don't follow them. But at any rate, I'm close. Bottom line is this. Jesus has come to bear light in you. You have that light. But when someone comes and says, hey, you want to get born again? What do you say? I'm fine. I don't need no, I'm cool. I'm cool. But they still want to come and do what? Bear light. Why? Because they know you're heading the wrong direction. You see, I was reading a book this week by a guy named Bob Jones. And Bob Jones had a vision, and he died and went to heaven. And as he was going up to heaven, escorted by those angels I told you about several weeks ago, he got to the throne of God, and there were two lines. One line went to the left, and one line went to the right. Now, here's what he noticed. That for every two people going to the right, 90-some-odd went to the left. Don't shop me down now. In other words, there was only a small percentage of people going into heaven. A very small percentage.
But did you say
90 some odd people did not go into heaven. They went to hell. Say it again, brother. Say it again. Narrow is what?
Narrow is the path.
And but broad is the way that leads to destruction. Church, don't be deceived. Don't be deceived. Don't be deceived. You have this life. You have this light in you. Spend time and let the Holy Spirit develop you. A guy asked me this past week, he says, Pastor Craig, do you believe in one saved, also saved? I said, well, let me ask you a question. When you got saved, did you desire to learn more about God and grow and bring forth the right, bring fruits of righteousness? Or did you just get born again and said, okay, I'm done with that. I'm going to go home now and chill out. He says, well, I just want to make sure I'm going to heaven. I said, so in other words, you're not bearing any fruits, right? Because Jesus said in John chapter 14:15, he says that if you abide in me, my words abide in you. He says that if you are in me, I'm going to purge you so you'll bear fruit. He says, but if you're bearing some fruit, I'm going to purge you even more so you can bear much fruit. Isn't that right? See, the thing is, if you claim to be born again and you're not bearing any fruit, don't shout me down now. Now, what's the first fruit of the Spirit? I always have this analogy when I teach on the fruit of the Spirit. I said, if I go to a supermarket and I squeeze a lemon real hard, what's going to come out of it?
Lemon juice.
If I squeeze you real hard, what's going to come out of it? Don't answer that question. Don't answer that question. Don't answer it. Because some of you have been squeezed, and I've been around you when you were squeezed. And what I saw wasn't love. Don't shout me down now. And the devil has a way of banging on your door until you go, okay. It's tough. This is why you need the Holy Spirit. This is why you can't run around here thinking, oh, I'm just going to come and go to a good Bible study. That's not the point. You got to allow the Spirit of God begin to transform you.
Amen.
I'm liking it myself, brother. So the same light that Jesus had, he came to give me that same light to do what? To quicken me. What does the word quicken mean? To bring alive. It does not mean raised from the dead. Resurrection is being raised from the dead. But quicken means you're coming from spiritual death to spiritual life. Now, how many of you, for the sake of time, I'm going to kind of blast you some of this, okay? How many of you remember what Romans 4:17 says? You can put it if you want to. How many of you remember this passage? And Jesus is saying, as it is written, I have made thee a father of many nations before him who believe even God, who quickened the dead, and call those things which be not as though they were. Now, who is he talking to here? He's talking to Abraham. Why did he tell Abraham this? You know why he told Abraham this? Because Sarah's womb was dead. Go to verse, I think it's 8, go to 18, please. Who against hope, this is Abraham, believed in hope that he might be the father of many nations according to that which was spoken, so shall thy seed be. What was the problem that Abraham was having? God had promised him what? The promised child. God promised Abraham to have a promised child, but there was one problem. Sarah's womb was dead. And Abraham tried everything. He even went in the natural. That's why we have a Ishmael in the world. Okay, be careful. Don't get no Ishmaels. That's why we have Islam today. Not talking against them, but that's why where that root came from. But God asked Abraham, do you believe I can quicken the dead? Now, God really wasn't asking Abraham that question. When Abraham cut the covenant, actually, Abraham represented Jesus Christ. But God had to have a representative there. So Abraham represented Jesus. And when God said, Abraham, do you believe I can quicken the dead? What he was saying is, Abraham, I'm going to bring Jesus from the dead one day. He said, but just to prove I'm right, I'm going to quicken your wife's womb. I'm going to bring it from death to life. Never had been done before. But God, with God, all things are possible. And we know what happened after that, don't we? What happened? Sarah became pregnant and brought forth Isaac and so on and so forth. But as I stated earlier, all sickness and disease, poverty, adultery, is a direct result of spiritual death. But when the Zoe kind of life comes into you, sin, sickness, disease, and poverty no longer has any power over you. When the power of God hit Sarah's womb, how old was she? No, Abraham was 99. How old was Sarah? She was in her 90s. Man, how many, you in the nursing industry, how many 90-year-old women you have ever seen having babies? Have you seen one yet? No. Well, she said, not yet. Well, that's true. She ain't gone yet. But here is the miracle. God brought that woman's womb from death to life. Now, the Bible says over in the book of Romans, it says that Abraham believed God and it was accounted to him for righteousness. Now, you need to get some from this. In anything you believe in God for, you have to believe it before you can receive it. You, no matter how bad you want it, is not enough. You've got to first believe that you receive the moment that you pray. And the moment that you pray, if you believe you receive, then you have what you prayed for. Well, you come to me a week later and say, Pastor Craig, I believe I received. Let's go back to Abraham. Abraham, God promised him the promised child. God cut a covenant with him, right? Bottom line was this. Was the promised child, did the promised child come the next week? It was several years afterward. Several years. Now I want to point something out here. Just because God hadn't brought your promised child, don't think he's forgotten you. All the promises of God are what? Yes and amen. He's promised you he'll bring it to pass. But what you got to understand is this. Sin has no dominion over you. Negative thinking has no dominion over you. The devil can't hold back your promises. Whatever God has told you that you can have, you would have. Now, Jesus was the first man born alive. What does that mean? He was the first man since Adam that was born with light in him. 4,000 years, there wasn't a man in between that was born to have light in him except Jesus. Jesus had the ability to communicate with God. He was the first man born from spiritual death. In other words, he died spiritually. There are preaching that says Jesus didn't die spiritually. If Jesus didn't die spiritually, then it was a murder. God is a murderer. No, Jesus died for your sin. In other words, he was disconnected from God. When Jesus came, his life became your light. Light is the only thing that can expel darkness. If you're born again, you have been translated out of the power of darkness into the kingdom of God. You are his dear child. You have been born from above. You now have the capacity to understand and commune with God because darkness has been expelled. Hello, son of God. Hello, daughter of God. Now you need to also, that's one of the third things you need to transform your mind to, that you are a son of God. And don't let this culture alter your thinking about being adopted. See, in this country, for whatever reason, adoption means you ain't the real thing. It means you're second class. But that word adoption doesn't mean what it means to God. That means you are a son of God. You have inherited everything that Jesus inherited from his father. When Jesus said, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all truths. He said he will not speak of himself, but whatsoever he hears, that shall he speak, and he'll show you things to come. He shall take of mine and give it unto you. Now listen, he said this. All things the Father has are mine. In other words, when Jesus went to the cross and was raised from the dead, the Father went into retirement. And the Father said, it's all yours. It's all yours now. You've performed the ultimate sacrifice. You're now running the universe. I'm going to sit over here, and I'm still God. I can do whatever I want to do, but as far as I'm concerned, I trust you to run this universe. Now, the thing is this. God wants to trust us to run the world as well. But we're so busy watching what man is producing as the world churns and hope, no hope for tomorrow and all those things. Now, as we close, and I go over to 2 Corinthians chapter 5, and we're going to start by verse 14. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 14. When you get there, let me know you're there. For whether, verse 13, for whether we be beside ourselves, it is God, or whether we be sober, it is for your cause. Verse 14. For the love of Christ constrains us, because we thus judge God, that if one died for all, then we're all dead. Now listen, when Adam fell, we all fell. From that point forward, everybody that was born into the earth was born separated from God. Isn't that right? Verse, let's see here. This verse is referring to Romans 6:6 that refers to the body of sin being destroyed. This is not referring to your flesh, but your sin nature. In your first birth, you received the fallen nature because your sin, because of sin of your spiritual parents. Who were your spiritual parents?
Adam and Eve.
Adam and Eve. Amen. That's good. When you were baptized into this death, when you were born with a dead nature. But when you got baptized, you are baptized into Jesus' what? Into his death. At that very moment, because you're born again, the body of sin is immediately destroyed. Now, I'm not saying your body is destroyed. I'm saying the body of sin is destroyed. Even though the body of sin has been destroyed, you still have a flesh, which is a byproduct of your fallen nature that you once had. The new nature has all the power it needs to keep your flesh in check or under submission. Now, we're not talking about the baptism. I'm just talking about your new nature. Sin can't make you do anything unless you first agree to it. How many read the book of James? If any man is tempted, he's tempted by what? His own lustful desires. Do not say that when you're tempted by God, because God cannot be tempted with evil. Now, let me ask you a question. This is kind of a sidebar. Was Jesus not tempted? Where was he tempted? When was he tempted? In the wilderness. Now, what does the word temptation mean? See, to be tempted with something, you have to first want it. Isn't that right? In other words, could you tempt me with a penny? Probably not. Could you tempt me with $1 million? Well, I'm going to say no by faith. But my sister here can be bought for $1 million if you got $1 million. Okay? Why? Because she wants $1 million. Well, what were the temptations of Christ? If these stones, if you be the Son of God, turn these stones into what? Bread. Why? Because Jesus was hungry. Ain't that sad? The devil had to tempt him when he was came up with a long fast. Did Jesus not want to eat? Yes, he did. He hungered. So all those temptations of Christ that Christ went through, it was something that he wanted. Did he not want the world? What was the devil saying? Hey, listen, if you'll just bow your knee, you ain't got to go through this cross, man. You ain't got to be beaten up. You ain't got to have 39 stripes on your back. You ain't got to have a spear pierced in your side. Hey, you don't have to have a crown of thorns in your head. Hey, listen, you ain't going to have nails in your hand. I'll give you the world. And Jesus said, nah, 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 nah. I'm going by the way of the cross, because I want to bring many brothers and sisters with me. What you talking about is short-lived. He was tempted because he wanted the world. When you were, say again. Well, go, what are all three of those? First one was bread. Second one was the world. And what was the last one?
Worship.
Huh? Do we worship Jesus now? See, he wanted, the devil wants us to worship him. But Jesus said, no, 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 no. I'm not going to worship you. The whole world will worship me, because I'm going to be the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Now look in verse 16. Hold it. Where are we at? We're in verse 14. Go down to verse 16. This is the verses I really want to preach on tonight. Verse 16. Or you can do 15 and 16. It's okay. Yeah, there is. I see his head. He's trying to find it. While he's finding it, I'm okay. Wherefore, henceforth ye know man after the flesh. Yea, we have known Christ after the flesh. Yet hence now know we him no more. What's he saying? Here is a whole... Is he what now? Not what that means. Here's a secret here that if you get it, you'll be set free. And it has to do with sin has no dominion over you. What he is saying is this. Jesus was a Jew. Jesus fulfilled the law. Everybody knows Jesus is a Jew. He's saying, don't know me that way anymore. I'm born from above. That's who I am now. I identify with you and you and you and you and you and you. Why? We're all born from above. There's no division. There's no white, black. There's no red, green. There's no Hispanic or whatever, male or female. We're all born from above. And when I'm born from above, sin has no dominion over me. Why? Because you don't know me after my flesh. See, what it's saying is this. My genealogy is wiped out. Milton Craig Jr., Jesse May Craig have nothing to do with my being born from above. Nothing. Not a thing. They have no part of that. Why? I've been born from above. Now, Milton Craig and Jesse May Craig had limitations, but being born from above, I have no limitations. Oh, you're not hearing me. This is why sin has no dominion over you. Now, you may wonder, well, Pastor Craig, how did you get a revelation on that? It's real simple, baby. Greste bronakradikushata. Brishora mokara narmana manamokosha dekere. And I went on and on and on and on. And you're telling me, Pastor Craig, you ain't got to pray in tongues that long. That's why you don't have revelation now of these things. And I've been in that prayer closet for years. And I'm beginning to see no man after Christ. He's not a Jew to me anymore. He is born from above. If sin has no dominion over him, it's got none over me either. Glory to God. I'm just like him. I said, I'm just like him. Quit my saying. Quit looking at yourself according to your genealogy. How many of you have seen these commercials? Ancestry.com. I'm going to give you a little hint here. Don't ever use it. You ain't got no business checking on your ancestry. Your ancestry. You got no business checking on your lineage. It's got nothing to do with you. When I go to a doctor, now doctors are changing this now. But when you go to a doctor, they go, did your mama have high blood pressure? Did your daddy have any kind of heart disease? Now, they're beginning to change all that now. You know why? Because how my daddy lived back in 1965, we ain't living that way now. It's a whole lot faster. Okay? You know, we were talking about, me and the Lord got in a conversation one morning. And I said, Lord, you know, we're talking about stuff. And I mean, here's how we talk. Lord, how can people celebrate Black History Month when they don't believe eating chitlins? And he laughed just like you laughed. He said, that's kind of funny, son. I go, I know it's funny to me, too. I said, how can somebody say, I'm all for Black history and don't like chitlins? That's what they used to eat, bless God. Amen. They did. Amen. That's what they ate. Oxtails and cow stomach and now I'm gonna gross out hog head cheese. I'm gonna tell you, it didn't come from any other part but one part. That was the head. What am I saying? What am I saying? Now I'm being funny, but I'm going somewhere with this. Quit learning about your ancestry. And don't get me wrong, I understand Black History Month. I get it, folks. But you're magnifying the wrong thing. You're magnifying the wrong thing. Let me give you another one. Every, I think it's October, November, we start wearing pink. What's it called? Breast cancer awareness. Why do I need to be aware of breast cancer awareness? I don't. Listen, sin has no dominion over me. So why am I celebrating? Oh, see, you see what I'm saying? So y'all don't like me. Y'all don't like me. I know you don't. But I get it. Because you are still trying to understand what it means to be born from above. But when you get a revelation of who you are, no longer will you allow these things to begin to dictate your life. Amen. You will look at that stuff and go, say what? That is the biggest bunch of ignorance I've ever seen. Now, I understand why you celebrate Breast Cancer Month. I get it. You're trying to raise the public awareness. But listen, why don't we get together that month and get together someplace and go, Shandalakabahaya, we're coming against cancer. We command it to go in Jesus' name. It'll not prevail. It'll not continue. No. But we celebrating it. Why are you celebrating something you've been free from? And don't tell me anything about the world. It's you in there celebrating it with them. Every time I see it, I'm going, why are football players wearing pink? Now, I ain't against, again, you can do all that you want to, but here's what the devil is doing. He's reinforcing sin has dominion over you. That's what he's enforcing. Now, you may not like me to say that, but I'm saying it. And if your pastor writes me and goes, you're out of bounds. No, you're out of bounds because no man after the flesh. Can I give you one more before I quit? What's your love language? What's your love language? Big teaching in the church. What's your love language? You're learning people after the flesh. That's what that is doing. And it's so subtle, a lot of pastors don't even see it. But when you get a revelation about sin has no dominion over you, you begin to realize, that's where I've been losing it. And I'm not playing that game any longer. What's my love language? I suffer long. I'm patient. I'm kind. I take no account to wrong suffered. That's my love language. My love language ain't got nothing to do with what you give me in my flesh. That thing is dead. And don't you try to resurrect it, or me and you going to have a big old fight that we ain't never had before, and I'm going to win. Amen. Now, I know I'm getting funny and getting out there, but folks, I'm trying to tell you something. These things will save your life. He says, no man after the flesh. Henceforth, we even know Christ no more after the flesh. Give me the next verse, verse 17. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. All things are passed away. You thought that was talking about the covenant. No, he's talking about your genealogy. Everything that brought you where you are now, the day you got born again, forget it. It's done. Can I go one step further? Forget about yesterday's, this morning's, the mistakes you made even before you got here. Forget about the guy that cut you off and you went blankety blank blank blank. Go, I was wrong. Sin has no dominion over me. Man, I didn't get much sleep on Tuesday night, and I got to go barbecue. I got up an hour late, and I bumped around the house just mad. I mean, I'm late. I got all this work to do. I mean, I'm doing some massive amount of cooking, man. I'm just angry at myself. And finally, the Spirit of God says, okay, so we're going to go down this road, right? I go, yeah. He says, well, let me tell you something. Do you believe you receive me? I go, yeah, you know I do. He said, well, then act like it. Either it's real or it's not, son. He says, the thing is this, what you got to realize, you are your own best accountability partner. Listen, there's some teaching going on in the world that you have to have an accountability partner. Oh, I sinned last night, brother. I missed it. No, listen, it's too late now. The cow's out the barn. It's done. No. If you were to spend time with the Holy Spirit, he would convict your conscience while you're going over the sin, and you won't commit the sin. But he got a hold of me and he said, now look, I'm telling you something right now. This is going to be this is not going to end good. Change now. And I just simply said these words. I believe that you love me. And I believe that I receive the strength that I need to get through this ordeal. And everything instantly turned. The gloom I was feeling just left. Then I would begin to see and I'm going, I'm getting this stuff done. And I'm over here and I'm over there. And then yesterday at about 4 o'clock, I'm going, afternoon, I'm going, what's left to do? And I heard, you're done. And it just went by so fast. Why? Sin has no dominion over you. Folks, you can use this every day. You got to start using it now. God loves you that much. You got to get your mind renewed and transformed that he loves you that much. And when he says he loves you, quit playing about. You know how we say, husband, I love you. I love you too. I love you. Or even relatives. It's become a cliche. And you've watered down the notion that God really loves you. You're going to have to start reminding yourself, God really loves me. Holy Spirit revealed to me how much he loves me. And man, when I start that conversation, he goes, well, he did this, he did that, he's done that. I'm going, I get it, he loves me. And I want to stay reminded of the fact that he loves me. No matter how rough things get, he loves me. No matter if I'm under a bridge, my wife and I are under a bridge, bless God, I hope it doesn't happen. I pray it doesn't happen. But no matter what happens, I got to believe God loves me. And sin has no dominion over me. You got to get your mind transformed with these things. Now, we're going to shift gears here now. So I'm going to ask you a question. Is there anybody in here that's going through pain and that if when we pray, you would know you had been healed? If you can, let me see your hands. If that's you, let me see your hand. You're going through pain? Okay. Would you please stand up? So if when we pray, you will know immediately that whatever we're praying for is gone, correct? Okay. Now, how many in here think you're prayer warriors? No hands went up just for the sake of the recording. There's some hands up now. Praise the Lord. Anybody back there believe you're born again? Y'all believe you're born again? Okay. With those of you that believe you're born again, you're my prayer team. Would you go back there, man on man and woman on woman, and just lay your hands on that person? Not yet. Just go back. No, go ahead and go back there. But don't lay your hands on them yet. Now, here's the second thing. Now, everybody say 1, 2, 3. Just count it out.
1, 2, 3.
Now, that was kind of fast, wasn't it? Okay, now, in 3 seconds or less, find out what they need prayer for. You ask them in 3 seconds or less. 1, 2, 3. That's all it takes. I don't want to hear your history. I don't want to hear sin got dominion on me. I don't want to hear all that. All I know is wrong. Now, we're going to pray. And I believe they're going to be healed. Do you believe with me? Why? I'm trying to get you to see you got the same power that God put in me. That power is in you. And I want to get you to exercising that power. So here's what I want to say. We're going to pray a general prayer. And I want you guys, the prayer warriors, look at all the prayer warriors about there. Glory to God. Hallelujah. We're going to pray this prayer. But here's the first thing I want to cover. I want to remind everybody praying that God loves you. And if God loves you, his love in you wants to heal those people. Amen. Isn't that right? Amen. Now, those of you asking for prayer that's standing, I want you to know one thing. God loves you. I said, God loves you. Now, if God loves you, then he wants you healed. Isn't that right? So now lay your hands on him. Father, in Jesus' name, I bind the spirit of infirmity on their body. I command it to go now in Jesus' name. Now, you pray your prayer back there. You pray. You got 3 seconds. Pray. Pray your 3-second prayer. All right, we're done. Stop. Now, where was your pain? Can you check and see if you used to have your pain? Your pain gone?
It's tense, but it's not as because it was there before I put pressure.
Is the pain gone or still there? Okay, somebody lay your hands on her jaw. A lady, put your hands on her face. Now you command that stuff to go. Yes. Because why? Why? Amen. And God what? God loves you. Now, where's your pain level? Praise the Lord. Now, where's your pain? Where's your pain? Hold on. It's gone. Glory to God. Now, we got round two. Now, how many in here tonight, you can be seated back there. How many in here tonight, you've got something chronic, but you won't know if you're healed unless you go to a doctor or over a certain period of time, you'll realize the healing has come. Would you please stand? It may be a heart murmur. It may be, I don't know, high blood pressure. It may be high cholesterol. It may be whatever. Anybody's got anything that you won't know if it's gone tonight until you go see your doctor. Would you stand? Okay. You too? Okay, good. All right, prayer warriors, you too? Or are you going to pray? Go ahead, right ahead. Boy, I'm telling you, I like that. Sin has no dominion over him. Okay, he's standing. Raise your hand. Okay, you're standing. And he's going to put his hand on you. Okay, praise the Lord. Now, in 3 seconds, turn and tell one of the people praying for you what's the problem. 1, 2, 3. We're done. Did you find out what it was? All right, now. Father, in Jesus' name, I command this damnable disease to go because you love them and because you love me. I believe they are healed in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Now, next week, come back and give us your testimony. Amen. Amen. Now, the thing is this, folks. Everybody participated in praying tonight. So you've been used to seeing me pray. But going forward, how are we going to pray? And everybody's going to pray. Now, the thing is this. If you were the ones that said, well, I don't really want to go over and lay my hands on them. Well, you know what you're doing? You're still knowing yourself after the flesh. You got to quit doing that. Listen, God has deposited something in you. It's powerful. It's called a new nature. It has all the power contained that God has. It's contained in there. And he said, believers will lay hands on the sick and what? They shall recover. Well, that's your genealogy. Your genealogy is not, well, I've tried this before and it didn't work. That stuff is passed away. Behold, all things have become new. If he said, your genealogy is, if he said, I can do it in the word of God, it belongs to me. Amen. Amen. Praise report. Okay. Do I need to stop? No. Okay. All right. Now, what did you learn tonight? Okay. You learned that. What else did you learn tonight? God loves you. And what else did you learn tonight? That's what I'm looking for. No man after the flesh, including yourself. Amen. Quit remembering your failures. Quit remembering your past mistakes. Quit remembering that stuff. It's all gone. Jesus is up there going, did you see that clown? I can't believe he did that. I don't understand. Father, what are we going to do with Lewis? He keeps making the same mistakes. That's not what they're saying. You know what they're saying? One day he's going to get this. One day he's going to quit living and being reminded of his mistakes. One day he's going to no longer keep reminding himself of his past. He's going to realize that his future is in us. Ladies and gentlemen, that's how you should be praying every day. Sin has no dominion over me, and I know no man after the flesh.
What is the third one?
I renew my mind. I want to transform my mind to God loves me. First one is sin has no dominion over you.
Yes.
Second one is God loves me. Third one is know no man after the flesh, including yourself. Okay? He has destroyed old things. They've all become new. He's not just talking about the old covenant. He's talking about your history. In other words, don't even know Jesus as the Messiah. Well, you can know him as Messiah, but don't know him as a Jew. He's not a Jew. Who is he now? He's born from above. Who is Elvin Craig? Is he an African American? No. Who is Elvin Craig? He's born from above. That's who I am. And so now, when I go fill out an application and they say ethnicity, I'm gonna cross all of them out and put born from above. Come on, somebody. Oh, see, I find ways to make this stuff live to me because it's real to me. This stuff is real to me. I've been born from above. When I face a problem, I don't go, now, I ain't been able to fix this thing in years. No man after the flesh. I've been born from above. He's going to show me how to fix it this time. I'm going to listen real carefully, and he's going to show me how to get out of this mess that I'm in. If you start thinking like that and praying like that, it won't be long until your circumstance will go, and you'll be like, when did it happen? It happened when you began to say sin has no dominion over you. That's when it started. That's when it started. Did you get anything here tonight? Man, I just preached myself happy. Well, thank y'all for coming out. Glory to God.